Welcome to the Unconquered Podcast.
Lethal simplicity. I like to score fast. It's hard not to be a Noles fan. Get Florida State back. I want a damn good defense. We're still undefeated. Blame no one. Make no excuses. Do something.
Welcome back to the Unconquered Podcast. Once again, as always, I am Jason Staples. And this is the abbreviated and rather late season preview for the 2018 season. And before we get any further, I want to thank the first sponsor for this show, Louis Marquez of Keller Williams Realty. If you're in the greater Jacksonville area or just in the on the upper sort of east coast of Florida, you have any real estate needs, you need to get in touch with Louis. Let him know that you heard about him from that you heard about him from the Unconquered Podcast. Louis has been on a tear selling houses, so if you need to do it, go through Louis. He will get you the very best online marketing plan. Make sure that you have the best possible pictures, photos and pictures are the same, I guess. pictures and smooth walkthrough video. He is professionally trained as a photographer and videographer. So you want that guy making sure that your house is listed. Some of the other realtors in that area, hire him to do their work for you. Just go straight to the source. Have Louis do it. And if you need to buy a house, again, go through Louis. Nobody's going to outwork him. Let him know I sent you. And from there, we'll go ahead and get on with the rest of the preview. Last year's season preview, not quite as good as the prior ones, but honestly, I don't think if anybody predicted what was going to happen last year before the season, I really would like to shake their hand and know exactly what substances they might be using. So last year, definitely one of the biggest outliers, certainly in Florida State program history. One of the most unexpected outcomes of a highly ranked team coming into the season in a long time. Now, again, going back to last year, when we made our preseason predictions, one of the things that we said was the one thing that can't happen is DeAndre Francois can't get hurt, and if he gets hurt, he can't get hurt early. Well, that definitely put a damper on the season. From minute one, well, from half number two, really, from the beginning of the season on. And so that's one of the things that's actually, it's going to be interesting this year because, you know, Florida State starting the season, preseason ranked 18th. If you look at a lot of the projections in the FEI and the FPI and the S&P Plus and all of these various systems, it's got most of those systems have Florida State, you know, because of last year's performance, and they generally take the prior year's performance into account. They've got Florida State, you know, usually in the low teens area, which, you know, that's pretty good, but it's pretty rare that you're looking at a situation where a team that has top five talent on the roster, and Florida State still does have top five, six talent in the country on the roster that has such low expectations. Florida State is in the very rare position for the Florida State program of flying under the radar early in the year. They don't have a big bullseye on them. They if anything, they're coming into the season feeling like they have something to prove. It's going to be interesting to see that dynamic work out over the course of the season. And I say, you know, top five, six talent, they certainly in the last 5 years have recruited like a top five program still. And the simplified football formula that I and colleague Steve Pointer have been putting together for the past few years, our formula actually has Florida State projected as the fifth strongest team in the country this year, behind Alabama, Clemson, Penn State, and Georgia. And again, that's an unbiased look. It's just what the computer spit out, but that the formula basically works off of composite star recruiting rankings for the current players on the roster, not looking at recruiting rankings as a whole, but who's on the roster and what their rating was then. Experience, including both years in college and starts. Outstanding player bonus. So if a player has gotten awards for All-American or All-Conference and that sort of thing, that adds a little bump for that player as well. And then a coaching rating based on coaches' performance in previous years. And actually, Florida State's getting dinged for that a little bit in the formula because the formula doesn't think a whole lot of Taggart at this point. And, you know, that's largely due to Taggart's situation of taking up programs that have not been loaded when he took them over. So worth noting that, you know, there's a gap between the talent that's on the Florida State roster and expectations. Now, as we've talked about on this podcast, as lots of other people have talked about ad nauseum, Florida State's schedule is such that a top five program might still lose, a top five team might still lose three games. I mean, you could be one of the five best teams in the country and lose three games against Florida State's schedule. Why? Well, if you look at our formula has Clemson at number two. Expect to lose that one, although the formula has it almost 50-50, but as far as the game. But let's say you expect to lose that one, and I think realistically, okay, you realistically are going to, you get a shot, but you're probably going to lose it. After Clemson, you have Florida at 15th in our formula. It's probably a little high, but that's what it spit out. Miami at 23rd, and then Notre Dame in there at 19th. And Notre Dame in some of the other formulas is ranked in the top four or five. So you're wrapping up with that. And you've got a few others, including Boston College and a few others that, you know, beat you last year. And in terms of positioning on the schedule, not the easiest. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens this year for this 2018 team, because again, expectations are so varied from what the range of possibilities, let's just put it this way, the range of possibilities for this Florida State team is extremely broad. Now, if you look at last year's team, that was true, turned out to be true as well. I mean, the some national experts have noted that basically Florida State could have, with a couple different breaks, they were, you know, three plays away or so from finishing with 10 wins instead of seven. Really about five plays away from finishing with 11 wins. So pretty close, real close, but miles away for anybody who watched that team. Super close all year. But it was not this is not a situation where Florida State is, you know, way behind, say, Clemson in terms of roster. They're not. Now, in terms of development, in terms of culture, some of that, yeah, they are. They're behind. But the talent is actually there to compete. If you can get it rolling, if players can really get what you're doing in new systems and all that, all this does go to say that in 2020, look out. That second year under this staff, look out. But in 2019, there's still a chance of being better than people expect. Better than most expect. But there's also a chance that you could lose four or five games with the wrong bounces. Quarterback goes down, or a couple key defensive players go down, or don't do what they need to do with those positions, or don't recover enough to get on the field, and as in a couple cases, and suddenly you're staring at four or five losses. Realistically, being a top 15 team, so it's going to be a really, really interesting year in that regard. Now, one of the things that I've learned over the years to do as I project what to expect for a team is I like to look at what the team lost at a given position and whether or not that team is going to be better. I started doing this last year, if you remember, whether or not the team is going to be better than what they are replacing at that spot. And Florida State is, they're in some interest. It's interesting to do that with this Florida State roster, because I think across the board, personnel-wise on defense, you kind of expect the defense to be worse. Personnel-wise, they lost arguably the three most talented players on their defense, the most talented player, or the, let's just say, maybe not the most talented player, but the best player on all three levels of their defense. They lost Derwin James, who's one of the best players in program history at safety. And there's no Derwin James on this roster. You're going to get worse at that position, personnel wise. Matthew Thomas was the most talented, certainly linebacker on the team. And they're really struggling at linebacker in terms of replacing him personnel-wise. And then Derek Nnadi, who was, I continue to say, very underrated as a nose tackle and really the most dominant player defensively on that team. Teams had to double team him, had to account for him on every snap. Even though he wasn't a big pass rusher, he basically made that defense much better. And without Marvin Wilson at full strength, this defense does not have that at that spot. So as I go across the board, I look at corner. You also lost your going into the year, a lot of people thought your best corner, guy that certainly would be on the field this year. I think, though, Taylor and Myers, compared to last year's McFadden and Taylor, probably about a wash. Now, here's the kicker, though. This year's complicated because defensively, in a few positions, you might get a little bit worse talent-wise. Might be a little bit of a dip there, but the technique might be better, or what you're asking these guys to do might be more advantageous to their skill set, such that you don't actually get a drop in performance. So this is a situation like at cornerback, and I'm going to go down the list on defense first. I'm looking at cornerback, and I see Myers and Taylor as your starters. And then you got Becker, Bolden, Samuel, and Litton as the backups there. And I say, well, that's about a wash compared to last year in terms of talent. But I was one of the first people going back in 2014 complaining about the technique of the Florida State corners at times, particularly in press coverage. Just the technique that those guys had was sloppy. And last year, it came back to bite him a number of times. You could see McFadden, for example, the final big play that Miami beat Florida State on last year. That was McFadden just having a little bit sloppy technique, not committing to do things the way that you need to do them with perfect technique at that spot. If he had had perfect technique, he breaks it up. But he's out of phase a little bit, looks back, allows a little bit of space, and then gives up a score. If you've got guys that are actually buying into doing everything rigorously correctly at that position, you can be a lot better, even with maybe a little bit less talent. And overall, the talent at that spot is about the same. So at corner, I would expect actually a little bit better play overall in 2018 than we saw the last few years. Last year, certainly not better than what you got with Jalen Ramsey there, but yeah, I mean, you're going to see, I think, some very good corner play. Now, this defense asks a lot of those corners, and you're going to see them get beat down the field on some big plays, and maybe the perception will be that they're not playing better, but in terms of actually getting the performance that you need out of them, I think basically you're going to expect that those corners to be just a little better than last year. Now at safety, I think you're going to be a good bit worse. The technique at safety wasn't awful. The technique, it's also a less technical position in that regard for the most part. Now the field safety position in this defense is basically another corner, and that takes a tremendous amount of attention to detail and technique to play, especially when you get vertical releases from that number two or number three receiver. The slot receivers that you're going to be covering man-to-man on those vertical releases. Samuels there is going to be, I think, very good. But there's a drop-off from Derwin James, and then you're going to have Westbrook and Fagan at the other spot, and those are guys that were there last year. So I think that's basically a wash. And then you get to the linebacker situation. And I think linebacker, you're slightly better at the mic, with a little bit of improvement and certainly better conditioning and better shape from Jackson. But then you lose Matthew Thomas, you lose Roderick Hoskins, you lose a good bit of size and some reliability at that spot. When Matthew Thomas was interested, when he did what he was asked to do, he could be dynamic, better athlete than anybody that they've got on the roster at linebacker at this point. And that, those outside linebackers are a real concern coming into this year. And I expect the linebacker position to be worse overall than last year, even with better coaching, even with improved buy-in there, the linebacker position is a real concern. Now, the thing that could save Florida State there is if Jaden Woodby just completely blossoms at that star spot, and then you only really have to worry about the Will spot. If Woodby, you know, becomes the guy that he could potentially grow into at that spot, then you're really worried about the Will spot, which is where DeKalon Brooks right now is penciled in as the starter. You know, maybe Zaquandre White develops a little bit and grows into that spot, and you can have a little bit better athlete there. But, you know, that there's going to be problems at linebacker in this defense. And the thing is, this defense does require a lot of its linebackers. Because you're playing so downhill, you're expecting linebackers to be able to fill and play aggressively and trigger against the run. And if you're not, if you don't have a physical bunch that's willing to do that, you're going to give up plays in the running game. And then the other thing is, because of what you're doing with so much man or match coverage on the outside, what is effectively man against any vertical releases, the linebackers are expected to be the guys that cover the flats primarily. And you're going to have linebackers one-on-one with running backs and so on out in the flat a lot in this defense. This defense is going to try to force teams to throw underneath and beat those linebackers. You know, basically, you're not going to be able to beat our one-on-one coverage. We're going to press you so hard. It's going to be difficult to beat us on the outside. So you're going to have to throw it underneath, and then our linebackers are going to come up and make the tackle. Well, if you can't rely on those linebackers to come up and make those tackles in space, well, you've got problems. So that's the big concern defensively. I think the linebacker position is worse. Then you've got the defensive line. I think at defensive end, you know, you lose Josh Sweat. That's your best guy at defensive end. You know, Brian Burns, really good player, but Josh Sweat was the best guy up front in terms of the end position last year. Played out of position in order to get Burns on the field more. But they don't have a Josh Sweat out there, former number one defensive end recruit in the country. Now, you know, Iman Robinson, good players, but neither of them is Josh Sweat. Now, Josh Kando could be that, but he's still recovering from that offseason surgery. So, again, I think overall, defensive end position, personnel-wise, a little bit worse than last year. Again, you know, being realistic there. Now, again, in terms of production, there's probably going to be a little bit more production from that spot, and people will perceive that it's gotten better because they're going to get upfield so much more. They're going to ask these guys to one gap instead of two gapping so much. That means taking the gap on one side or other of an offensive lineman rather than taking that lineman head on and trying to play both gaps at once where you're reading a little bit more. So you can get upfield and get after the quarterback more. You're going to see more sacks this year. You're going to see more pressure from the defensive end position this year, or you should. It's a real concern if you don't. But overall, a little bit worse. And then at defensive tackle, Christmas is basically a wash from last year. He's already experienced, already a quality player. And then you've got Fred Jones versus Derek Nnadi. I'm taking Nnadi. Now, if Wilson gets healthy, that can change that. But overall, the defense, personnel-wise, is a step back from what they had last year. Last year's defense should have been amazing, and it wasn't. Now, it was for about a half. It was really, really good, actually, for four quarters against Alabama. You go back and watch that Alabama game, that Florida State defense looked dominant. And then all of a sudden, a few weeks later, they looked like they were a totally different team the rest of the year. And this team just does not have the same level of talent across the board at all three levels that last year's defense did. And so they're going to have to compensate by playing harder and playing more schematically sound, or more sound within the scheme. Let's put it that way. Both schemes are sound. It's a matter of whether or not you can execute it in order to compensate. But ultimately, there's going to be some issues on defense this year. I think people who are expecting the defense to just be lights out from minute one this year are going to be a bit surprised and a little bit disappointed. And I should mention, I've gotten some questions as well, or I've seen some discussion about this, about, you know, what kind of adjustments you can expect from Florida State on defense. And, you know, Harlan Barnett, you know, isn't he going to be a better at adjustments you know, than Charles Kelly, who would stubbornly stick with the game plan even though it wasn't working. Well, actually, if anything, Harlan Barnett is going to appear more stubborn. He sticks with one defense more often, and you know, some variations of what he does. There's not a whole lot of variation there. He's not going to go away from his philosophy. And that's not a problem. That's not a bad thing. A lot of people think that adjustments are really where it's at. That you know, changing scheme to account for this or that is where it's at. But it's really about getting your players to be able to do what you're asking them to do within the confines of your scheme. And to have a scheme that actually works with your personnel, not asking players to do what they don't do well. So, you know, that'll be an interesting thing. And the same thing, by the way, on offense. I mean, Taggart's offense is a good bit less flexible in terms of adjustments and in terms of what you can do on the fly and accommodating to personnel and all that than Jimbo Fisher's was. Jimbo Fisher's offense is one of the most flexible systems in the country. It's really a full offense rather than a system. Taggart is running more of a system in that sense. And so there's going to be less room for true wholesale adjustment. You'll see tweaks. You'll see, okay, well, we see this matchup, so we're going to take advantage of it. A little bit different. So there's going to be less adjustment, you know, on the fly in games than people are probably used to and some expect. So that's another thing to think about coming into this season. All right, now shifting over to the offensive side of the ball. This is where really the hope is for Florida State this year. Because last year's offense cratered once DeAndre Francois got hurt, once a few other guys got hurt, once Gavin got hurt, once Auden Tate got hurt, you know, once they had got banged up front. Last year's offense was just not good enough. And this year's offense projects as one that could be really good. I mean, you look at across the board, let's start up front. Up front, you lose Josh Ball, Rick Leonard at the tackle positions, and otherwise you're basically holding serve. Eberle, Minshew, Kelly, those guys are back. Dickerson coming back from injury. So you feel pretty good about the interior. Feel like you can run the ball between the guards at least. You're going to have some solidity between the guards if you can stay healthy there. And then you've got some additional growth from Arnold and from Bavion Johnson. You've got some interior, you feel pretty good, and you feel like you're actually going to be better than last year. But those tackles, that's going to be the work in progress. Now, you know, they could be fine. And again, Greg Fry is actually, he's more of a tackle guy. Certainly more of a tackle guy in terms of technique and helping those guys and coaching those guys than Trickett was. Trickett more of an interior guy. More of an effort guy in terms of coaching. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see those tackles, but, you know, you expect to be a little bit worse at the tackles and a little bit better at the guards. Now, schematically, this is where things make a difference, because what they're going to ask these guys to do compared to last year is going to put less strain on the tackle positions. So overall, I think you're going to see an improvement up front from what you saw last year. Also at the center position, Jimbo's offense is very hard in the center. The way that Jimbo and Trickett ask the center to block, pretty difficult. And generally speaking, the way that Taggart and Fry are going to do things, easier for the center. And really the sophistication of Fisher's offense was primarily up front in the line. That's where a lot of things got overcomplicated at times. It's not that all that complicated in the passing game, but you know, in terms of what they asked the offensive line to do, it was a lot, and it was demanding both mentally and physically. And they're going to ask him to do less up front, and that I think is going to make them look better up front. Then you look across the board, and the running back position. I think running back position is basically the same, maybe just a slight bit better with the addition of Kalon LeBourne to the rotation. Okay, that's good. So, you know, running back position is already really good. You expect it to get a little bit better with some Akers improvement. So, you know, a little bit better on the line, a little bit better at running back. But here's where I think the offense is going to get significantly better, and that's at wide receiver, or at least the perception of wide receiver, because Gavin is not hurt. Auden Tate was your best wide receiver last year, but he played hurt. can you get the same basic performance level out of, say, the combination of Terry and Matthews that you got out of Auden Tate last year, with Tate being with Tate playing like 30-40% at times, 50%? I think so. And then you add a quarterback with some experience back in instead of playing a true freshman, and the receivers are going to look much better. And so and then you add the infusion of some of the young guys who can add some things as well. The quarterback and receiver positions, just by virtue of Francois being back, by virtue of Blackman having experience, and I should note that as I was recording today, it appears that the news has just broken that Bailey Hockman is leaving the program, is transferring. It's not that surprising that he's transferring to me, by the way. I should mention that because, you know, he was unhappy last year. And at the end of last year, I thought he might transfer at the end of last year. But with the new staff, he stuck around to give it a go and then decided to transfer now that he didn't win the job. And to me, the only thing that's really surprising is the timing. It'd be interesting to see where he winds up. I suspect that this is something that has been discussed thoroughly with his dad, who obviously is a well-known high school coach, and his dad has a lot of contacts, so it'll be interesting to see where he winds up. If you're the Hockmans, you have to think right now that they're looking right now at the situation at North Carolina, which was basically the runner-up for his services, and going, man, if we'd have just made that choice, because Hockman would be starting at North Carolina right now. So, and I know from talking with the Carolina staff that they loved Hockman. He was number one on their board in terms of guys that they could actually go after. And they were really disappointed not to get him. So now it'll be interesting to see where Hockman winds up. But in any case, the quarterback position is much healthier, and you can sustain, you've got two guys that you can play with. So if one goes down for a game or two, it's not the end of the world like it was last year. Then at tight end, Trey McKitty, you're going to get better stats, at least, than what you got at that position, particularly with their use of some RPO game with the tight end on some pop passes and things like that. So, you know, you're going to see more big plays from the tight end position, but maybe a little bit less quality in terms of blocking on the edge than you got from an underrated, in that regard, Ryan Izzo. So, you know, overall, I think the offense is better across the board. I mean, there's not a position where I actually expect a significant fall off in production or in what they're able to do on the field from last year. Again, the tackles are the one spot where you look at it and the personnel has not really improved, and it's actually worse. But they're not going to be asked to do the same things that last year's tackles were asked to do. So overall, I think the offense is where you're going to have to win a lot of ball games this year if you're Florida State. So, you know, looking at this situation, I think there's a lot of room for optimism if you can get pretty close to the same performance on defense, which is not great, but it's good enough if you can score a lot of points. And if this offense can go out and score early and put the defense in much better leverage positions where they're actually able to rush the passer, that radically changes everything. Last year, you know, they were playing from behind way too much, and then that allows offenses to be multifaceted in the way that they attack you, and that put the defense in bad spots. This year, if the offense can come out firing, it changes things pretty dramatically. So, you know, that's the overview. Now, in terms of what to expect from the schedule, I'm not going to do too much on Virginia Tech, on this Virginia Tech game right now. I'm going to release that preview show actually over the weekend. I look at that, especially with some of the attrition that Virginia Tech has had. Florida State should win that game. And to me, if they win that game, I would not be surprised to see FSU start 7-0. So you beat Virginia Tech, they're going to beat Samford. I think they're going to beat Syracuse at Syracuse. I think that's one that that's a talent edge, and this is one where I think they'll be able to deal with that. Probably, you know, likely to beat Northern Illinois at home. So you start 4-0 through that. Then you get Louisville at Louisville. That's a tough game. Then you get Miami at Miami. And I think through Miami and then after Wake Forest, it's very possible. I like Florida State against Miami this year, by the way. in terms of just matchups, in terms of depth, in terms of who's on those rosters. You know, last year, that game should not have been nearly as close as it was. Miami should not have won that game. We'll see the health, you know, health will matter by that point, but I'm, you know, my formula favors Florida State in all of those games and by a reasonable amount. So, you know, I would not be surprised to see Florida State wind up 7-0 and having a huge buzz going into the Clemson game, hosting Clemson. I think, don't be surprised if Florida State hosts Clemson for a game day game, that, you know, game day comes in town into Tallahassee for that Clemson game, and that you've got two teams, say, ranked in the top six or so. But the problem is that the end of the schedule features five teams, all of whom can beat Florida State. Clemson should be favored in that game. NC State on the road immediately following Clemson. Oh yeah, that's never gone well. That's one that's always going to be tough. Then immediately following that, at Notre Dame. So you've gotten banged up against Clemson and NC State, and now you're going to go on the road to Notre Dame. It's totally possible that they start 7-0 and go 0-3 through Notre Dame. And then you host Boston College, who blew you out last year. It's totally possible that they go from 7-0 to 7-4. And then they play Florida, and they're not going to lose to Florida this year. So it's totally possible that they start 7-0 and finish something like 8-4. And do so as a, you know, legitimate top 10 team in the country. Ultimately, what should be expected? I think, you know, 9-3 is probably a good expectation for this team. And then 10-2 and 8-4 probably equally likely. You know, it, depending on injuries, depending on other things. But, you know, again, talking to the coaching staff, they believe that, and they, you know, they, looking at what they've got, they don't think that there's any team on their schedule that they can't or even shouldn't beat at some level. You know, obviously they know how good Clemson is, but they know that they've got the capacity to beat that team. There's not a team on the schedule that Florida State can't beat, but they're going to have to stay healthy. They can't lose Jaden Woodby at linebacker. They can't lose Stanford Samuels III at field safety. They've got to get Marvin Wilson back healthy. You know, they're guys that they can't afford to lose. They can't lose either offensive tackle. So there are places where, you know, if guys go down at those spots, this turns into a four or five loss season pretty easily. If you stay healthy in some of those key spots, this team is capable of winning every game. Does that mean that they will win every game? Almost certainly not. But I'm really interested to see what's going to happen in terms of this schedule. As I look at it again, you know, I think, you know, if I had to guess, I'd say probably 40% likely. I'd put the odds on them starting 7-0 at about, you know, 35-40%. Somewhere in there. I think it's basically a coin flip that they start, say, 6-1. So things are going to look really, really good. But keep in mind that the end of the schedule is really where all the traps lie. Now, if you're Willie Taggart, that's exactly how you want this schedule to set up. You would rather all of the really, really tough stuff be at the end. Why? Because you can build the confidence, you can rebuild the confidence, and you can get these kids completely bought into what you're doing by midseason. Anybody who's not completely bought in, by that point, they're totally bought in and they're playing with immense confidence. And we saw last year with Miami what can happen when you have a team that gets a few breaks and suddenly starts playing like they believe they're a top five team. Suddenly they start doing stuff where it's, wait, how did they just, they're not that good, but they believe they're that good. If Florida State can do that early, if Taggart can get this team rolling early, then that momentum, just like last year, we talked about on this podcast, how you get a little bit behind the eight ball, you get a little bit on the other side of that, and things can unravel really quickly. Success and failure in college football is such it's a razor's edge. Winning and sustaining winning is so hard because, you know, you lose a couple and you start losing confidence, you lose trust, and you get guys that start doing their own thing, and it changes everything. But it goes the other way too. So you beat Virginia Tech in that opener, And suddenly you've got the door open to start 4-0, Samford, Syracuse, Northern Illinois, and then going into Louisville, and you feel really, really good at that point. And suddenly you've got some momentum, and players are bought in, players are flying around, and suddenly playing better than what they actually are. They start to become better because of what they believe they are at that point. And because they're doing exactly what you're asking them to do, and the effort levels go up, and the essential unity and trust of teammates goes up. And so now this guy's going to do his job at 100% rather than kind of looking over to see if the guy next to him is doing his job so that he can make up for it, which means that neither of them do their job. So I'm really interested to see what's going to happen in those first few games. Because if they go, say, 7-0 and they come into that Clemson game 7-0, you better bet that Dabo Swinney and that Clemson team, they don't want to play a very confident and loose Florida State team going into that game. Even as good as Clemson is, and Clemson has some significant edges on Florida State matchup-wise this year, particularly up front, as much as I think that this offensive line for Florida State is going to be better than a lot of people expect, particularly on the interior, nobody is going to block that Clemson front on a consistent basis. So, you know, you're going to have problems there. And, you know, by that point, Lawrence is going to be starting at quarterback for Clemson. So, you know, again, that takes away that advantage where last year you could count on them having an inferior quarterback, a guy that you could take advantage of in that regard, that basically you had to limit his legs, but you could try to make him beat you with your arm. You do that with Lawrence and you're going to get, by that point in the year, it's probably going to go badly. So Clemson's going to be a good bit better by that point. And, yeah, probably not ideal for Florida State, but you go in with that kind of confidence and you just never know. You stay healthy in the key spots, just never know at that point. All right, I'm going to wrap up with the Garage Makeovers question of the week, brought to you by Garage Makeovers, the top-rated garage remodeling company in South Florida, licensed and insured, been serving all of Palm Beach and Broward County since 2005. So if you need anything done in your garage, including painting, drywall work, polyaspartic flooring, cabinet shelving, slot wall, any sort of accessories or anything, call Nathan at Garage Makeovers for any of that. Let him know that you heard about him from the Unconquered podcast. Let him know I sent you. All that information is, as always, in the show notes. So getting to that question, I was asked which position on offense and defense I expect to break out this year. And I'm not going to take the cheater's way on this and talk about the quarterback position and say, the quarterback position is going to be a lot better than last year. Everybody knows that. So we're going to bracket that one. Quarterback position is going to be better this year, and it would have been regardless of who they had at quarterback, because now you don't have a true freshman starting. Makes a big difference. Now, for me, the position that I'm going to choose as the breakout position, the one where you're going to see somebody who was not as productive, or the position that was not as productive previously that's suddenly going to burst out, I'm going to go with the tight end position with Trey McKitty. I think actually the tight end and wide receiver positions in general are going to be a good bit more productive. They're going to throw it less, but I think they're going to have a lot more big plays. You're going to see guys down the field making big plays, bouncing around and doing some things. But I think Trey McKitty, in terms of what they're going to ask him to do in creating some assignment conflict problems in the running game, with McKitty releasing downfield and then a run play in the backfield where they'll pop pass it to McKitty if he's released. I think you're going to see some big plays from Trey McKitty this year. I think by the end of the year you may have, if he stays healthy, I think you're going to look at something close to Nick O'Leary numbers from Trey McKitty. Not quite, but not far off. And a higher yard per catch average and some really big plays from McKitty. So I'm going to go with that as my breakout pick on offense. And on defense, I'm going to go with Stanford Samuels III. I think Samuels, really I'm going to go with two here. I'm going to cheat. Samuels at that field safety position, I think, is going to create some turnovers. And you're going to see some plays made. He's going to get beat here and there too, because you're going to get beat at that position, and you're going to get beat deep at that position in this defense on occasion. But he's going to have his share of big plays at that position. The other guy I think is really a breakout candidate is actually Janarius Robinson. And I think up front, you're going to see Robinson from that bigger end position create some plays in the backfield at times that are going to have people excited, particularly for the future. And if he continues to grow over the course of the year, there's going to be a lot to be excited for there. But I'm going to go with Stan Samuels as the primary breakout candidate on defense. All right, well, that's going to wrap the season preview for 2018. I'm going to go ahead and put up the Virginia Tech preview here in the next day or so. But one last thing in terms of thinking about that, if you want to look at an offense that is probably, in terms of what they're doing this year, the closest to what Taggart and company are going to be doing schematically, I guess it's too late to watch one of them. But if you want to see a preview of what you're going to see on the field on Monday night, tomorrow, on Saturday, I suggest that you watch the UNC Cal game. North Carolina's changed their offense a good bit. They've always been kind of an up-tempo spread team, but they've changed a good bit this year to borrow a lot of principles from Baylor and to do some things in terms of spreading the field and being a bit more vertically oriented and screen oriented in terms of the receiver game and marrying what they're doing in the running game with that. You're going to see more. You're going to see something closer to what Taggart's running from North Carolina in this year. So that's a good one to watch. And then if you did watch the USF or I'm sorry, the UCF game. Yeah, Central Florida is a completely different program. But if you watch the UCF game on Thursday night, that also is a very close system. What Josh Heupel's running there is also pretty close systematically to what Taggart's doing. But again, one place where they're a little bit different is Taggart is going to be much more smash mouth, and he's going to run it more than both of those teams as a rule, although Carolina's going to run it more this year as well. So, but basically take what you see there and then add another 10 or 15% of running the football and pounding the ball from those spread formations, and you're basically going to see what Florida State will be doing on Monday night. All right, so I've almost made it out of this episode without having to do any predictions, but I suppose I should go ahead and get some of those done. I've got Florida State going 9-3 this year. I was on the border of going 10-2. I just think there are a few places where they're a little bit too thin injury-wise, to where I'm not real comfortable with that end-of-year schedule. So, like I said, I actually would not be surprised at all if they started 7-0, but those last five games, I think they lose two or three of those, and that's where I have them winding up. So I have 9-3 for this year's Florida State team. Would not be surprised in the least if they went 10-2, 11-1. But, you know, again, they're going to have to be really healthy for that to happen. As far as who I expect in the playoff, I think Alabama is going to be the team to beat this year with, I think Tagovailoa probably is going to be their starter. And if with him at quarterback, with a guy that can actually throw at quarterback, they are loaded at wide receiver. They're loaded on offense, and they're going to put up 45 on teams, on good teams. And that, you know, look out. Clemson, though, is the one defense that, you know, up front is going to be able to give them trouble. I got Alabama and Clemson in the playoff. And then beyond that, I think Notre Dame actually has a pretty good chance of being in the playoff as well. That fourth team, I'm a little bit less confident in, but let's just go with Penn State. I think I wouldn't be surprised to see them do it this year. So I'm going to go with those as my four and Alabama as the national champion. But we'll see. Lots to talk about here coming up. Looking forward to football season. Finally, now that it's here, being able to enjoy that, I will talk with you a bit more here over the weekend with the preview for the Virginia Tech game. But until then, enjoy college football. Happy college football season. Thanks for listening.
Thank you all very much, and have a great day if you want to.
I made this.